It's a Thursday, and Ruth is setting one plate, just one. For 40 years, she set a supper that was never quiet. Kids, then their kids, the neighbor who had nowhere else to be, the cousin nobody else would invite. Ruth was the one who remembered everybody's birthday, who knew who wasn't speaking to who picked up the phone first. She held them all together. Then her husband passed, the kids moved to three different cities, and one by one the calls got shorter, then rarer, then stopped. Ruth didn't get less generous. She'd give you the coat off her back today, but the family she spent a life weaving has quietly come undone. And she can't figure out where it went. Here's the thing that should bother all of us about Ruth. She did everything right. She gave for 40 years. And it still fell apart. So tonight, we're asking a harder question than last time. Because last time, we found the jar, the kind of giving that comes back around instead of running you dry. But a jar everyone fills is still sitting out there in the open, and somebody has to be holding it. So let's say you heard the first episode and you believed it. You stopped trying to be the well that everyone drinks from, and you started building a jar, the kind of giving where everybody puts something in and it comes back around. Good, but here's what nobody tells you next. A jar doesn't run itself. Think about it for a second. A jar everyone fills still needs someone who remembers that the new family on the street is short this week. Someone who notices the eggs the one neighbor has too many of and walks them over to the family who needs eggs. Someone who sees that quiet man at the edge of every gathering and actually says his name. Someone who keeps a soft eye on who's only ever giving and who's only ever taking and gently evens it out before anybody gets used up. That someone is the center. And Ruth, for 40 years. That was Ruth. She wasn't just generous. She was the one the whole web ran through. Pull that one person out, and the jar doesn't get more efficient. It just slowly, quietly tips over. Now watch what actually happens when a center slips away, because it's so quiet you can miss it for years. Nobody announces it. There's no fight, no falling out. Ruth just gets a little older. She makes one fewer call. The Sunday dinners drop to once a month, then holidays only, then a card in the mail. And here's the cruel part. Every single person in that family is still a good person. The kids still love their mom. The cousins would all show up if you asked them. Nobody chose to drift, but the thread that held them was never the love. The love was always there. The thread was Ruth, the one person doing the quiet, invisible work of keeping everyone tied in. Take her out. And the love stays, but the connections it traveled on go dark. That's what we keep getting wrong about being alone. We think it shows up when people stop caring. It doesn't. It shows up when the person who held the center steps back and nobody, steps in to take hold. The caring's still there. It just has nowhere to run. And right here is where most people quietly count themselves out. Because when I say someone has to hold the center, you might be picturing a very particular someone, a grandma in an apron, a natural-born host, the warm aunt who somehow remembers every birthday without writing it down. And you think, well, that's just not me. I'm shy. I'm busy. I'm a man, and that's not a man's job. I don't have the gift for it. So you wait around for that special person to show up and hold everything together. And when they don't, you decide your group, your street, your family just isn't the type that has one. But that's the trap, and it's worth saying out loud. We've turned the center into a personality, or a gender, or a thing you're born with. And because we did that, when the natural one is gone, everyone stands around politely waiting for another natural one to appear. They almost never do. So the seat stays empty, the jar stays tipped, and a whole family of good people slowly drifts apart. every one of them sure that holding it together was somebody else's job. So here's the turn, and it's the most freeing idea in this whole episode. The center is not a person, it's a job. It doesn't check your age, it doesn't check your gender. It doesn't ask for the right last name, or the warm personality, or some gift you were supposed to be born with. The job just asks one thing. Are you willing to keep the thread? Let me show you. Meet Walter. 78. Lost his wife a few years back. Lives alone. And if Walter fell in his kitchen on a Tuesday, honestly, there weren't many who'd know or come. His circle had gone thin to almost nothing. Then a younger guy from his old job, no blood, no duty, no reason he had to, just quietly started being Walter's person. One standing phone call, every Thursday, a name in Walter's phone that actually picks up, you doing all right? That meant it. That was the whole thing. That young man was not a grandma. He had no special gift. He was just willing to hold one thread so it wouldn't go slack. And that, right there, is the center, not who you are, what you're willing to hold. And here's something that might surprise you. This isn't a sweet idea somebody made up. It might be one of the oldest reasons our kind made it at all. Scientists who study how humans first thrived noticed something strange about us. Most animals, once they can't have babies anymore, don't live much longer, but humans, and grandmas especially, go on living for decades after. For a long time, that was a puzzle. Why would nature keep someone around so long, past having children of their own? One leading researcher, Kristen Hawkes, put forward an answer that's become famous, and the books in this series lean on it. Her idea, kept simple, is this. Those older ones lived on because they were useful in a way nothing else could match. They held the center. They watched the little ones, they remembered where the food was in the hard year, they kept the group tied together. The whole group did better, and more children survived because someone was holding everyone in. Researchers gave that idea a name. They called it the grandmother function. And notice what it really means. The center isn't some nice extra. It may be the very thing that let us survive in the first place. We are, quite literally, the kind of creature that needs someone holding the jar. Now I can hear the pushback, and it's a good one, so let's not dodge it. You might be thinking, hold on, be the center? Be everyone's person? That sounds exactly like signing up to be Ruth, the one who gives until there's nothing left, the one everyone leans on, the burnt-out one. Didn't the last episode warn me about being the well? And now you want me to volunteer to hold everybody? Good. Hold that, because it's the most honest fear in this whole series, and the answer matters. Here's the difference, and it's everything. The burnt-out center is the one who tries to be the whole jar, who pours and pours from her own cup until it's dry. But a healthy center doesn't pour the giving. She starts it moving, and then she gets out of the way. She doesn't carry the eggs for everyone forever. She introduces the egg lady to the family, and then those two carry it. She doesn't become the one everyone leans on. She's the one who notices who needs leaning on and points them toward each other. And this is the part Ruth forgot. A healthy center lets the jar fill her too. She receives. She lets people hold her thread. The center that hoards all the giving burns out. The center that starts the flow and lets it come back around gets held up by the very thing she built. We'll go deeper on that next time. For now, just know, holding the center isn't carrying everyone. It's making sure nobody, including you, ends up carried alone. And here's the part nobody warns you about. In a good way. We've been talking about holding the center like it's a duty, a weight, a thing you do for everyone else. But sit with Walter's young coworker for a second. What did he actually get out of one phone call a week? more than you'd think. Because there's a quiet hunger in almost every person, and it's not the hunger to be helped, it's the hunger to be needed. To know that if you didn't show up, someone would feel it. That somewhere out there is a name and a phone, a seat saved, a Thursday that has your shape in it. The young man didn't just rescue Walter from being alone. Walter rescued him right back from a smaller life, gave him someone to matter to. That's the secret hidden inside holding the center. It looks like the thing you do for others. It turns out to be one of the surest ways to stop being alone yourself. The lonely modern life isn't only short on people who'll help us. It's short on people who need us. And the fastest way out of that is not to wait to be needed. It's to make yourself the one someone can count on. You don't find the center and then belong. You hold the center, and the belonging is the holding. All right, let's bring this all the way home. To you, because a story about Ruth and Walter is just a story until you put yourself in it. So let me ask you three honest questions and actually stop on each one. First, who holds the center in your life right now? Picture them. The one who starts the group chat, who remembers the birthdays, who notices when you've gone quiet. Did a face come up? Good. When's the last time you helped hold their thread instead of leaning on it? Second, and this one's bigger, could the center be you? Not for everyone. Not the whole jar, but for one corner of your world that's quietly tipping over. Could you be the one who takes hold? And third, the one I really want you to sit with. Who in your life is holding it all alone and running dry? The Ruth, you know. The one who gives and gives and has nobody refilling them. Be still a second. You probably just saw a face, maybe two. One of them might be a person who's about to drift, just like Ruth did, unless somebody steps in. And here's the quiet, enormous thing. That somebody is allowed to be you. So here's your one thing this week, and I want to be clear about what it is and what it isn't. It is not a test. Don't go grading your own life, tallying up where you fall short. This is a give, plain and simple. Find one person whose circle has gone thin. The Walter, you already know. The neighbor who lives alone, the friend who went quiet after a loss, and you keep meaning to call. The new coworker who doesn't know anybody yet, just one. And this week, become one of their people. Here's how, in three small moves. 1. Reach out, this week, not someday. A call, a knock, a text that says more than, hey. 2. Offer them something standing, a regular Thursday call, a standing spot in your week, a, every Sunday, I'll check in. Something they can count on, not a one-time nice gesture that fades. And 3. Start one thread for them. Introduce them to one other person who'd be good for them to know. You don't have to hold the whole jar. You don't have to fix their whole life. You just have to be a center for one person who doesn't have one right now. That's how a torn thread gets tied back. Not all at once, one held hand at a time. So that's the second thread. And it runs straight through these five books. A gift needs somewhere to come home to, and that somewhere is a person willing to hold the center. Not a special person. Not a born host, a job open to anyone with the heart to keep one thread. Ruth held it for 40 years, and it still came apart because no one stepped in when she stepped back. Walter nearly vanished until one young man decided the center could be him and save them both. The supper doesn't stay set on its own. The jar doesn't hold itself. Somebody has to take hold. And now you know the most freeing thing about that somebody, it's allowed to be you. Now, maybe part of you is still standing there with your arms crossed thinking, sure, but give first, hold the center. That's exactly how a good person gets used. Good, Bring that with you, because that's the most honest doubt in the whole series, and it's exactly where we go next. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.